Rewind, your week in review is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin, it's how we get there.
Because I don't want to go backwards. I want to keep going forward together. That's exactly where we're going to go. God bless
you. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
This is a Rewind, Wisconsin Iowa's politics look at this week in the Capitol. But first, was I was there, Jason Fields at a forum says there are job opportunities for Milwaukee residents with Foxconn. And two Democratic candidates for governor correct each other on universal health care. And there's a plea for the Attorney General to have more authority over drug prices. Wish I was there.
I want to touch base on something that me and the Secretary, I was just telling the Secretary about the recent Marquette poll, where what stuck out for me is the fact that when those questions were asked about Foxconn, a great number of people not from southeastern Wisconsin said, you know, that will be beneficial to that area or that region. And yet the numbers were a little bit, it was vice versa, where people here are saying, well, we don't necessarily know if that will be beneficial. And I thought, how is it that you have a number of people not from here recognizing opportunity? Because that's what this is about. It's about recognizing opportunity to make a difference. And so what kind of leader would I be if I just let it go?
I'm Adam Freioffer. I'm the Water Use Section Chief with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. The purpose of this evening is to allow for public comment as it relates to the City of Racine's application for a diversion of Great Lakes water.
By changing a single word in state law, we can make Badger Care a public option available to anybody in Wisconsin regardless of income. Badger Care should be there for all Badgers. The eligibility requirements are spelled out in state law, and then it says if all of the following apply, you're eligible. If we change the word all to any, we make Badger Care a public option available to anyone to buy into in Wisconsin and should take that step.
I do take issue with one of the candidates about changing a single word. As you know, the eligibility is in statute, so that means that we need the legislature to help us change the law, and it's not just one word.
Growing up, we were all taught that every vote counts. However, that's not always the case in states where politicians, sadly, are responsible for drawing legislative district lines. Under the current process, many people might think their vote matters, but in many legislative elections, the partisan advantage for one party or the other is so significant that voters practically forfeit their right to choose their legislators.
In 2013, my daughter Theodora was born with a rare disease known as Timothy syndrome. Timothy syndrome is a multi-system disorder affecting only 20 children worldwide. It is a fatal disorder. Medications are literally keeping her alive. There is no treatment and there is no cure for Timothy syndrome. What this means for my family is that we are literally at the mercy of whatever the pharmaceutical companies want to charge us. All we ask is that the price of a medication, that it remains reasonable, or that they are able to justify such an increase. And if they cannot justify, then these companies should and must be held responsible. There is no better way to do that than to give the Attorney General the ability to hold them accountable.
Ignoring the advice of three top Wisconsin Republicans, mm-hmm. President Trump yesterday mm-hmm. put tariffs on aluminum and steel. 25% on steel, 15, I think, how much on aluminum?
25 and 15 or 10.
10,
like
okay. And we should know that, but we don't. Were you surprised at House Speaker Ryan saying the smarter way to go is to make it more surgical and targeted, focus on what is clearly a legitimate problem, and Governor Walker appearing at two Wisconsin businesses that use steel, and then Ron Johnson saying no one wins a trade war? You surprised at the opposition by our senior Republicans in Washington?
Not surprised the opposition, because that's Republican, that's orthodoxy of the Republican Party. Tariffs are not good. What was interesting, though, is the public break with the governor, and that he's out actually going around the state talking about it, generating headlines opposing the tariffs.
Yes.
That's unique. And there are a couple of things probably going on there from when I talk to people. One, Governor Walker has to create some separation with Washington, D.C. to show that we get things done in Wisconsin, unlike dysfunction D.C. You've heard them talk about that quite a bit. But you also kind of have to worry about too much of a break with Trump. So there's that going on, defending Wisconsin businesses. Harley Davidson could be the target of retaliatory actions by the European Union.
And you've seen the figures. Cranberries, potentially.
Cranberries. MillerCoors has raised issues because of aluminum that it uses for canning its beer. I mean, there's this wave of possible impact for Wisconsin, although we don't know if there could be exemptions now. The governor's talking about, you're talking with the Trump administration, what that could mean. So who knows? But if it undercuts the economy, then that's bad for Republicans. And I think they're worried that, that could happen because if the economy really takes off and it keeps going, that could maybe mute some of the impact of this Democratic wave that's coming or could be coming. But if the economy drops off, well, then you lose an argument, right? You lose an arrow in the quiver of, why you should keep power if you don't have the economy.
But much is being made in Washington of Speaker Ryan drawing this line, saying, I oppose this. Is that a big deal? Is that a change in tone for Ryan v. Trump?
A little bit. He's been pretty much on the same page for a while. What's interesting is talking to Democrats who are like, well, why now? Why is this the one thing you're stand up on after all these months of other things where you've kind of I'm not paying attention to that. That's not on my radar. This is the one thing you're going to take a stand on.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. Now, Charles Franklin, mm-hmm. MU poll in 9 months. So I'm going to pull about five different segments from that just sure. because I kind of think this kind of drops the flag on our campaign season.
Yeah.
So the first thing is let's go to approval ratings, JR. The president, 50 down, excuse me, let me get this right, 43 up. Then Governor Walker, 47-47, which mm-hmm. has been lingering. And Senator Baldwin, 39% down, 37% up. Speaker Ryan, 39% unfavorable, 46% favorable. And Senator Ron Johnson, 40% favorable, 30% unfavorable. What's your takeaway on approval ratings?
Let's start with the president. Not much has moved. If you look at the crosstabs, Republicans have coalesced more around the president. Democrats aren't real happy, although numbers were ever so slightly better Democrats in March than they were in June of last year. With independents, he's upside down. Now, this is a live caller survey, so that means that people are calling you on your landline or cell phone.
800, I think, February 24, 25 through March 1, excuse me.
There's been the issue that's been raised about if it's a survey, it's an automated dial or on the internet.
Real person.
Does Trump do better because people are more likely to express their real feelings about him? There's that dynamic to worry about. But nothing's really moved for him in these Marquette polls since really last October of 16. People don't think he makes good decisions makes bad decisions, doesn't care about people like them, but he's delivering on his promises. So there's that. With Governor Walker, it's really interesting because Republicans feel like he's right where he needs to be. They look at the fall of 14, he was kind of even then. They feel like it's more important to look at the right track, wrong track number. It was 53% right track, this month.
Yes.
They see that as a ceiling, that's going to help him. Democrats feel like he's right where they want him, that he's under 50%. Foxconn is a problem. If you look at that poll, there's a big Dem enthusiasm gap in this poll. With Tammy Baldwin, numbers are just kind of there. I mean, a Democrat told me, not time to freak out, but time for concern. This is also probably a result, they've been spending millions of dollars against her on TV. But if you go back to March of last year, she was 40-35. Then in June, she was, I think, even at 37 or 39, something like that. Now she's a little underwater. So it's not much movement, but it's a little bit. So what's that mean? The flip side is her GOP primary opponents aren't well known. Same with Governor Walker's Democratic field.
Yeah.
And with Ryan and Johnson, Johnson's kind of not in the campaign mode anymore. Fascinating. There was how many millions of dollars spent in that race in 16? All kinds of TV ads at the very end, and you're still at 30% of opinion about you. With Ryan, maybe it's that people are kind of coming back around to him at home. So we'll see.
It's very interesting. So there's no major dramatic changes, but this is the first time that the MU poll has measured approval ratings in this year and with a few months ago in the campaign season.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back to Foxconn. I have a confession. I have been bugging Charles Franklin for poll numbers on whether Foxconn is supported by residents statewide since last fall. He finally did it. He was on a special project at the law school. I understand that. But now let's go through it. Is the state, all 800 respondents, is the state giving Foxconn more in tax breaks than company will invest? Yes, 59%. No, 38%. Will the Milwaukee region be helped by Foxconn development? 57% yes, 35% no. Then this generic question about staters, will Foxconn help businesses where I live? 66% no, 25% yes. So my question is, Foxconn is the reason that you and I go to these Democratic candidate for governor forums, and it's about the first or second issue out of their mouth, isn't it?
Yeah. Remember, when this was announced last summer, it was supposed to be a grand slam home run for Governor Walker. I had Republicans argue it was going to seal the deal for his reelection. Right now, this is an albatross around his neck, which is why you hear him talking about to voters outstate of the suppliers are going to benefit out here in these various places.
And there's a website for how to link up with potential contracts.
Republicans talk about this being the basement of the numbers for Foxconn, that there's only place to go but up, right? Because to them, once there is a factory actually being built, once those contracts are signed with suppliers, assuming they come, that will start to turn things around. The flip side is for Democrats, they go, look, this is why they're doing this Rural Economic Development Fund of $50 million through WEDIC, because they know that voters outside are going, where is mine? That's why they're doing this Kimberly-Clark bill, or trying to get it done. They're going, okay, you gave Foxconn this, what about Kimberly-Clark, which is trying to cut 600 jobs in the Fox Valley? There's a really interesting subtext too about the Milwaukee question, because some Republicans I talked to said, well, this is a base to build off of. Voters see a value that, yes, it was going to improve the economy in Wisconsin, Milwaukee. But others say, look, Republicans have been talking for 20-some years of stick it to Milwaukee, right? So in some ways, that might not be a good number, because they're saying, oh, once again, all the resources are going to Milwaukee. What about my school district? What about my community? What about my factories? So, you know, there's a long way to go before November on this, but there's some troubling things for Governor Walker in there, and there's some opportunities to maybe build of what he saw.
But I want to come back to the nuance. It's important to pay attention to how Mr. Franklin asked the question. Mm-hmm. He didn't say, respondents statewide, you support helping Foxconn. It's more tailored. Is the state giving Foxconn more in tax breaks, which is about $3 billion, that's the state share, than you have the locals
Locals,
chipping
road
in,
stuff, everything else.
Then the company will return and invest. So that's important. 59% yes, 38% no, that's the statewide. It's just absolutely fascinating.
And it backs up that the farther away you get from that plant, the less popular it's going to be.
And you saw the numbers on Green Bay. I think the number will Foxconn help Green Bay area industries? I think that only registered at 22%.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay, one more segment from the Charles Franklin MU poll. First numbers we've seen on favorabilities for the major Democratic candidates for governor. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the ones that got more than 10%. Mr. Tony Evers, 20%, Madison Mayor Paul Soglin, 15%, Matt Flynn, 13%, Kathleen Vineout, 12%, and let's go to 9%, Mike McCabe, 9%, 7%, Malin Mitchell, Dana Walks, 4%, Andy Gronick, Kilda Royce. Take away from this?
Big caveat to start. The poll was 800 like registered voters, has a margin of error plus or minus, I think, 4.5 points, something like that, remember it was. But with this subset for these primary questions, mm-hmm. it goes to 7%.
It does.
That's a little bit of a big margin for error.
7.1%.
You know, for me as a polling geek, I kind of go, it's a little bit big. So there's that caveat. The other thing is registered voters, not likely voters. So we'll see, you know, how that will change over time with that enthusiasm gap we talked about, the Democrats, or if that really is there, maintains.
Which is important. Let's land on that a little bit. That Charles Franklin said the enthusiasm is 10 percentage points higher among Democrats in terms of we vow this time we're going to go out and vote than the Republicans,
in
which
March,
kind of flipped it from, what, 2-4 years ago?
In March of 14, the Republicans had a plus three point enthusiasm gap where they were really excited to vote. Now it's plus 10 Democrat. You're talking a state that has more Democrats than Republicans, although independents are a huge piece of the electorate. But if you're talking, they're jazzed up and they want to go to the polls and there are more of them, that's a big deal. That changes the dynamic a little bit of the governor's race and Senate race. But again, it's March. It's hard to figure out likely voters in March. So that all said, looking at this primary question, people don't know who these guys are yet. People aren't really and Franklin said this, people haven't tuned in yet to this race.
Okay.
Why? They're not on TV. They're not on radio. Look, they're out there and they're doing events. They're going to places. They're getting headlines and or stories in local outlets, but I've learned in politics, unless you're on TV or radio, people don't really notice you. It's just a fact of life. They also have the money to get on TV or radio right now. So I had one Democrat tell me this may come down to a month sprint for the primary of getting on the air as much as you can and just pounding that home for a month for the August primary. It's also why you see like Kelda Royce this week, who rolled out a campaign video in which she's talking about issues and then started breastfeeding her child during the video, didn't skip a beat. That's gone viral. She is pumping that up as much as she can because it's about getting attention, about getting donors, and trying to kind of break out of the 4% she was at in the Marquette poll.
Okay, so your takeaway, Mr. Evers, Mr. Soglin, shouldn't be doing handstands, and Mr. Gronick and Kelda shouldn't be giving up on this?
Well, you know, look, Evers had a poll out in January that had him at 29% or 30, something like that. This one had him at, what, 18?
Yeah, and you and I didn't take that seriously because it was a poll by the candidate.
Automated poll paid for by the candidate. So, but here's a huge margin of error. So where is Evers at? Evers should have the lead. He's run statewide 4 times, won 3 times. He probably has the highest. I mean, that makes sense. But there's a huge undecided pot of voters out there. Where are they going to go? How do these guys tap into that? And, you know, the answer is honestly is money and paid media. Digital ads. I mean, Facebook ads. Whatever you can do to get your face, get yourself in front of other people, that's kind of a key right now.
Okay, the fourth pullout from the MU poll that I want to talk about is the two Republicans for U.S. Senate, State Senator Leah Vukmir and Kevin Nicholson, the Delafield business executive. Favorables on Senator Vukmir, 10%. Favorables on Mr. Nicholson, 7%. Unfavorables on Senator Vukmir, 6%. Unfavorables on Mr. Nicholson, 7%. Voters are not aware of these candidates. Mm. Go ahead, your takeaway.
Again, big margin for everything. This one to plus or minus 8, something like that. But people haven't started paying attention. Now, there is a difference, though, in this race. Kevin Nicholson has had outside groups spending money on his behalf to pump up his name ID. So I get two spins out of this, right? One is that's not a great return on your investment when you're at 7-7 with the electorate at large. The flip side is he's not targeting everybody. He's targeting Republican voters right now. So, and you look at the head-to-head, he's ahead of Leah Vukmir, right? Even though Leah Vukmir has been in office for however many years and Nicholson's kind of gone from the ground up, he's in the lead. Well, that's probably a reflection of money being spent. Really interesting caveat to this. Franklin said, of the people, Republicans who can't identify either candidate, can't identify him, Nicholson led 22-7. Why? Is it a gender thing? Do they kind of know who they are because they've heard his name on TV but don't know enough about him? What is it that is, people can't identify either of them, 22-7 for him? So there's that. But the bottom line is they're not anywhere near a solidified field yet in that primary. Nicholson also has his own campaign poll out a while back showing he was leading Vukmir as well. So this kind of gives him more fodder to make the case of he's starting to gain traction.
And now we have some benchmark numbers on some of these key races, and we can see how they fluctuate mm-hmm. in future polls, both from MU and elsewhere. The last segment I want to pull from Mr. Franklin's poll is the Supreme Court. The election is April 3rd. And when asked about favorable opinions of the two candidates, Milwaukee County Judge Rebecca Dallet, 14% favorable, 9% unfavorable, 77% either said haven't heard enough about her. Then Sauk County Judge Michael Skronik, 10% favorable, 9% unfavorable, 81% haven't heard enough or don't know about him. So Supreme Court indifference in the election?
This 800 registered voters, all right, that's registered voters. That's a big April election voters is a much smaller segment.
True.
Much more motivated voters, much more frequent voters, sometimes much more partisan voters. So what we don't know is how are they going to communicate to those guys, what the message is going to be, how is it going to resonate. We're just seeing now Michael Skronik has started doing some digital ads talking about him being the law enforcement choice for Supreme Court. Eric Holder's group, I saw, dropped $140,000 on digital ads.
Yeah, you just reported that this morning.
So there's that out there. That's the first big chunk of change being spent for our future. I believe is the name of the group. They've been canvassing for Dallet and against Skronik, done some digital ads as well. So it's starting to take effect. We haven't seen TV, in the general election at least, haven't seen the radio piece of this. Be interesting to watch. And oh, by the way, that motivation number, that enthusiasm gap, how is that going to translate into a spring election in April? I mean, that's going to be something to watch.
Wisconsin and I will be carrying the March 26th debate between the two judges vying for the 10-year seat on the Supreme Court. That's before the Milwaukee County Bar Association. Okay, we're done with Mr. Franklin's poll. Now, the interesting Foxconn wants the City of Racine, let me rephrase that. City of Racine is asking 7 million gallons to pass through Mount Pleasant, which is the site of the Foxconn development. Mm-hmm. There was a public hearing Wednesday in Racine on that very important diversion. And let's listen to about a minute of testimony from both sides, please.
The approval of this application is vital. It's a vital step toward a massive economic development project in our state. The proposed project will create thousands of high-skilled, family-supporting, long-term jobs right here in Wisconsin. It will spread the benefits via the establishment and growth of a booming supply chain throughout Wisconsin. All that growth and all the benefits that come from it hinge on the availability of the water resources proposed in this application. It is important that we recognize the compact is working to protect our great water resources. All of the Great Lakes are at above average water levels and are forecast to continue rising.
You have a foreign company that is outside the Great Lakes Basin applying for water with a straddling community that has very few residential users, going through a city that has that use already. If we allow this to happen, it is going to happen all over the basin with other states. And then it's going to be the other thirsty states and nations and corporations who come. And we're not going to have a leg to stand on.
I want to go in a little bit of the weeds on this. Let's keep it in perspective. Racine diverts 16.9 million gallons. Mm-hmm. So they want to divert an additional 7, pass that to Mount Pleasant. Of the 7 million, let me get the numbers right, 2.7 million gallons would be used and consumed by Foxconn. 4.3 million would be returned. This has to be approved by the DNR. This is a DNR. Most members appointed by the governor. I'm going to predict that the DNR finds some way to approve this. You?
Yeah. And the governor's trying to make the case that if you go back, I remember how many years, that Racine was using more water then with the jobs that it had than it even would use now with Foxconn coming aboard, if it's, everything's approved, to make the case of this is not, yes, it's a lot of water, but if you go back historically, it's not as big a draw as you might think. And oh, by the way, it'd be 13,000 jobs in this area. So that's the Walker argument that we're hearing about this.
Right. And the next day, well, first of all, let's talk about opposition from the Wisconsin League of Conservation Voters. Their spokeswoman said, if we don't do it right, then we are going to lose every opportunity we have to protect this thing that has made Wisconsin such a great place to live. The next day, Foxconn issued a statement. I'm just going to read it, a sentence. Environmental sustainability is a priority, and that includes compliance with the Great Lakes Compact and Wisconsin laws, rules and permitting procedures relating to water quality and wastewater treatment. The next day, Foxconn says, you can trust us. So this is an important diversion mm-hmm. issue.
Absolutely.
It really is. Okay, next subject. The Attorney General wants a second term. Attorney General Brad Schimmel announced, and he said in his statement, I've been on the front lines in the battle against opioid and drug abuse, human trafficking and killing, overreaching regulations that stall job growth. I pushed for harsh penalties for violent and career criminals. Before we talk about the response from the state Democratic chair, talk to me about issues in his race.
So I will guarantee you'll see an ad at some point this fall that has the juxtaposition of the number of rape test kits that sat untested in state crime labs or state storage versus him spending X thousand dollars on swag or coins that had the carried the KAED.
Kick ass every day.
You're going to see an ad
kicking
like that.
Kicking ass
every day. You're going to see an ad like that. Democrats are trying to make the case that this guy takes his eye off the ball, let things get away. Interesting that Democrat Josh Call, who is running against Schimmel, brought up the spike in opioids because Schimmel's been making that an issue for, or a focus.
Centerpiece issue.
And calls critical of him. I'm going to guess that there'll be experience questions that both will face this fall. But really, they're kind of tied at the hip to the top of the ticket, right? Like, I don't know if Governor Walker wins and Brad Schimmel loses or vice versa. It can happen, but in this environment, will it? We'll see. Schimmel's plays on the Obama, suing the Obama administration, that's for the base. He's more of a happy conservative warrior than Van Hollen was, his Republican predecessor, who got hit on both sides for being too partisan, but not partisan enough. There'll be that issue. And then with Call, he is a former federal prosecutor. It looks like a decent Dem year right now. How's that play? Who comes into play from the outside? I'm going to bet you money WMC is going to come and play hard in that AG race and try to make sure people know who Brad Schimmel is, and not having it lost the shuffle of the governor's race and the U.S. Senate race.
And let's note what the state Democratic Party chair said in reaction to Mr. Schimmel's announcement, Wisconsin has never seen an attorney general more wedded to the GOP's extreme anti-Wisconsin agenda. A hint of arguments to come, my friend.
I've already seen percolations from Republicans of that Josh Call is Hillary Clinton's lawyer and trying to tie him to the his law firm as part of the whole dossier thing. And so that doesn't really play, I don't think, with like the average voter, but it's like toxic with the GOP base, so it gets them motivated for stuff.
And the Democratic Party press release said Mr. Schimmel's last lawsuit tried to void the Affordable Care Act. So a hint of voices to come. Stock picks.
So rising, Eric Covey. So bear with me for a second, Steve. So Eric Covey is not in the race for U.S. Senate. He is, from what I can tell, talking to operatives. He might even be doing some polling, trying to figure out what he wants to do. But if he looks at the Marquette poll, he's got to be going, nothing in there really scares me, right?
Right.
So Vukmir and Nicholson aren't that well known. Right. Baldwin's numbers are just kind of mediocre. So he's in this good spot right now. But here's the thing. He's benefiting from the palace intrigue conversation of will he or won't he. If he gets in, it turns to can he win. What are his flaws? For example, he hasn't been doing Lincoln Day dinners the last few years. He hasn't been going to state convention doing hospitality suite each year and keeping the fires burning with the grassroots. Will he have to spend a lot of money to kind of, you know, get back in good graces of the GOP base? And oh, by the way, the biggest calculation for him probably is can he win in November? The enthusiasm gap number is going to be a problem if it persists. I mean, that's the thing. Does it persist for 8 months? I don't know if you can sustain that level of intensity for that long. But there are things out there that are warning signs for him. But if you're him right now, you got to be going, well, that's kind of decent news for me if I look at that Marquette poll.
Okay, let's go back. The favorables on Senator Vukmir, 10%, unfavorable 16. Favorables on Kevin Nicholson, 7%, unfavorable 14. And your takeaway, numbers that do not say to Mr. Hovde, this is not winnable for you.
He ran in 12, so definitely a lane from the primary. And you know, get how that scrambles that race, there's a whole other story going on forever about that. But he ran in 12, probably some name ID left, but how much does he have to spend to get back to where he needs to be? And oh, by the way, like I heard somebody, and not just Hovde simply, but you know, wealthy camps in general, think they can buy the way out of any problem. Okay. You know, so they think money is the end all be all, and it's big. But you know, there's some issues for him to work out long term.
Okay, we got about 2 minutes left. So you're rising. My wife and I were out of town until Wednesday. Who is Gordon? And you pronounce his last name?
Gianberto. He is a Milwaukee lawyer nominated for federal bench by President Trump.
And he's your mixed, okay.
Made it to the Federal Nominating Commission. Bipartisan commission identifies cancer federal vacancies. Got nominated for the federal bench. And then some things he said and wrote came out and got the ire of Tammy Baldwin. Now, a member of the commission says that those comments, if they'd been public before they did the process, he would have made it through. Here's the big takeaway. The U.S. Senate had a tradition for 100 years of blue slips, that if you were a home state senator, and there's a nominee from your state for judicial, for appeals court, circuit court, or district court, you can hold up that nominee if you don't like it.
Yeah, the blue slip process.
They've done away with that pretty much or they've created exceptions for that, a number of them, for the appeals court level. But Grassley, the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said that with the district court level, he will still respect or expects to. Will Tammy Baldwin withhold her blue slip on Gordon? If she does, he's toast. That's the bottom line.
Okay. And then following UW-Stevens Point, they're cutting programs, including political science.
If you have budget problems and enrollment problems, something has to give. And these 13 programs are what has to give. And because these 13 programs have to give, there could be layoffs of faculty up there. It's just reality what's going on. And oh, by the way, they're trying to create space for more career-oriented majors.
More tech majors.
And that's really kind of what some Republicans want to see, stuff like that, to see more of a focus on getting guys and gals to graduate from the university system who are ready for a job on day one, not in these, you know, studying political science and history and those kinds of things.
Yeah, well, thanks for the segue. I'll be interviewing UW System President Roy Cross and the Technical College System President Morna Foy next Tuesday. I'm Steve Walders.
And I'm J.R. Ross.
That's Rewind for March 9.
Rewind, your week in review, is sponsored by the Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. Sharing one goal, enhancing the quality of life in Wisconsin through the development and maintenance of a strong transportation network. The Transportation Development Association of Wisconsin. It's how we get there.